Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
At Christian Apostolic Church, through the Angel Food Ministry, you can get excellent restaurant-quality food at a great low price.
This food is delicious.
Angel Food rocks. You gotta try it. You can't buy better food anywhere.
When you think about saving money while feeding your family the best food, you need to think Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
Mine tastes that good.
It's really good.
This service is available to all. There are no income guidelines. If you eat, you qualify.
I like it.
You've got to try it. It's really good.
CAC's Angel Food Ministry can accept payment in just about any format. You can pay by cash or money order, debit card, credit card, or food stamps card, EBT. The only format we do not accept is personal check.
The food is delicious.
The delicious menu is available on our website right now, along with an order form you can print right from the website. Check it all out at www.cac.us.com/angelfood. Again, that's cac.us.com/angelfood. Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
It's like they say, restaurant quality food.
Angel Food is awesome.
Now, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth, and we're pleased to bring you at this time another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. And we encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice you'll hear is Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. Let's roll the tape.
I'm telling you, if people will just let God be God and just trust God, no matter what it is, God will work out things that we don't even know is coming around the corner. We can't plan for it because we don't even know it exists yet. But that's the way things are. I'm telling you, it is just, it's just so many things. Anyway, back to the issue. Hey, there are big dogs and little bitty dogs, but they're still dogs. They're never going to evolve into bumblebees or mosquitoes, or they're going to stay dogs. You know, there are all sorts of varieties of corn, but you could crossbreed corn from now to forever. You will never get a nectarine to grow on a corn stalk. It can't happen. You will not get a tomato vine to produce a watermelon. They won't grow there. I mean, can you imagine, folks? I mean, just think about this now. There are varieties of cattle from the cattle kind. There are varieties of orchid from the orchid kind. There are varieties of strawberry from the strawberry kind. There are varieties of everything from within their own kind. You see, God says everything is going to reproduce after its own, and that's exactly what the evidence shows. There's never anything otherwise. You can crossbreed cows from now to the cows come home. You'll never get a cow the size of this room. It can't happen. There's a genetic code locked in, you see. In fact, if you get too far from the genetic code, you get mutations. Here's an example, two-headed calf. He's dead. Here's another one, a six-legged calf. He's dead. A two-headed calf. He's dead. Now think about this a minute. You can be a cow with an extra one or two of something that you already have, and you're not going to survive. You could be, but wait a minute, do you realize the implications of a statement, all the many forms go back to the same common ancestor? Do you realize the incredible amount of change that had to happen and work when you can't even get an extra something you already have and not work? That doesn't make any sense, you see. There's no evidence for what they're teaching. Look at this, even this textbook. This is a single snake with two heads, a two-headed snake. Mutations such as these rarely survive because the internal organs are often greatly deformed and therefore weaker and more vulnerable. Well, no kidding. He's more vulnerable. This guy's going to starve trying to figure out where to go to eat. Taco Bell, McDonald's, Taco Bell, McDonald's, Taco Bell, McDonald's, Taco Bell, McDonald's. It's a mutation. It's harmful. You know, folks, natural selection is always a loss of information. Now, think about this. They say evolution happened by means of natural selection. That's not possible. If something is naturally selected out, it's no longer alive. It can't pass on its genetics. It's dead. If something is selected for survival, the other is out. It's no longer alive to pass on its genetics. If you have a population of wolf and you have a population of bunny rabbit, the wolf are going to naturally select the bunny rabbit out of here. The bunny rabbit's no longer alive to pass on his genetics. He's dead. The wolf are going to have wolf for babies. There's nothing new put into the thing to make it turn into something else. The only net effect is the bunny rabbits are gone. You have a loss of information, never a gaining. But it never works out the way they want us to believe. Anyway, you don't have to raise your hand. Just yell it out. When a fish in your fish tank dies, what happens to that fish? What happens to the fish? Okay, it floats and rots and stinks. What else? It decays. You take it out what? What's the last step?
Flush it down the toilet.
Flush it down the toilet. Now, folks, do you realize this is science? You have observed this with your own eyes. You maybe had your hand on the net to scoop the thing out. When a fish dies in your fish tank, it goes belly up, floats to the top, gets kind of grayish, white, flaky, stinks, you know, rots, decays. Other fish see it and eat on it. And then you scoop it out, flush it. All right, check this textbook out. Curtis Barnes biology textbook shows a picture of a fossil of a fish eating another fish. All right, look what the text says. About 50 million years ago, this perch, that's the big one, unable to swallow or dislodge the herring, that's the little one, it had voraciously attacked, suffocated, and sank to the bottom of the lake in which it lived. Lake sediments built up year after year, eventually dried, preserving the bones and the limestone. These fossils were found in the Green River Formation, southwestern Wyoming. It's now dry, blah, blah, blah. Now, wait a minute. It says about 50 million years ago, which is pure belief only, nobody was there to see that. You can only believe that. It says this perch attacked this little herring and it suffocated. It couldn't breathe. It suffocated and sank to the bottom of the lake in which it lived. Now everybody knows when a fish dies, it first goes belly up, floats to the top. And then it says lake sediments built up year after year. Now hang on a second. Is a dead fish going to lay on the bottom of the lake for years? And then it says it eventually dried. I've got a question about that one. Have you ever noticed when you're running late to work, you know, you just come out of the shower and your hair's wet, just go to the fish tank and go dry your hair right out every time. You know? Folks, that's nonsense. You know? Anybody that knows anything about this kind of thing knows that's not true, but that's what's being taught. It's incredible. You know, this idea of a fish in a fish is actually quite a common find. Hey, think about this. It's 102 outside. You're running, playing a frisbee, throwing a football, you're mowing the yard, just jogging, just out there. Yeah, it's 102. It's hot. You go up and grab a hold of a tree limb that you can reach. It's in 102 also. And you grab that tree limb is cool. You break that tree limb off and you put it on the ground, you go feel that tree limb 2 minutes later. Same limb is now warm. What happened? The only thing that changed is you just removed the life from that limb. Folks, once the life is removed from anything, the decay process immediately kicks in. That stuff is, everybody in this room has seen a tree limb out in the woods out there somewhere in the field. It is not going to lay there for millions and millions of years and slowly turn to stone. The more time that goes by, the more it rots away. Or other things eat it away. Same with a dead animal inside of the road, out in the field. The more time that goes by, the more it's gone. Time is not a friend to any of the evolutionary processes that they want to claim, stake claim on. It's not true. The more time that goes by, the more the item is rotted away. It's not going to hang around for millions of years. If it's going to happen, it has to be quickly or it won't happen at all. These two pieces are in the museum out there. These two pieces are down in this tray down here. Leaves turn to stone. Not just imprints of leaves, but in fact that one on the back side, three distinct levels of leaves. It's actually full of them all the way through, but leaves turn to stone. Well, wait a minute. We have a little camp up in northern New Hampshire and people come from all over the place to see the pretty leaves turn color. And after they turn to pretty colors, they get kind of brown and they go to the ground and they lay there for millions of years and slowly turn to stone. right? No. You know what, folks? By the time next year's leaves fall off, last year's are pretty well worked back in the soil. They don't lay around for millions of years. Anybody that ever knows anything has seen leaves fall off trees all over the country. They know they don't lay around for millions of years. It has to be done quickly, or it's not going to be done at all. Everything like that. We'll get into the mechanism and such on Wednesday night. Awesome stuff with how the Bible explains this. But I mean, blueberry flower fossils and insects. We have some insect fossils. We have some feathers and figs. Now, fig is not going to fall out of a fig tree and lay there for millions of years and turn to stone. It doesn't work that way. But we have walnuts and beetles and worms and very delicate items. Absolutely verifying it is a rapid thing. This was big news the other day. Science News, March 2005, talking about how they found an unfossilized section of a T-Rex leg bone with red blood cells inside the blood vessels. In fact, this thing, when they first found this thing, this was back when the O.J. Simpson deal was going on. Now, this is so funny. This was back several years ago when the O.J. Simpson issue was happening, and we were watching the ABC Nightly News, I guess it was at the time, something, back several years ago. Anyway, Peter Jennings was lying to us that night. But anyway, we're watching this news, right? The first article was they had this, it was when Mark Furman, the cop that had O.J.'s blood in a vial in his sport coat pocket for 7 hours, they said, that stuff's not any good because that's been in his sport coat for 7 hours. We can't trust that DNA in there. And now, wait a minute, you can go from in your body, blood, through a sterile needle, into a sterile tube, into a sport coat pocket to protect it from the sun for 7 hours. And they say, that's no good anymore. The very next article was this one where they said, well, we just found blood vessels with good DNA in them in a T-Rex bone, 65 million years old. And I looked at my wife, I said, do you think anybody caught this? It was incredible. I mean, it's amazing. Folks, you know, a lot of times they dig through, they cut through bones turned to stone with rock saws, and they smell like burning flesh, burning bone. They're not even turned to stone. They're very young. They're not millions of years old. How about this stuff? We have it down in the tray, and there's a bunch out there in the museum, but it's poo-poo turned to stone. Dookie turned to stone. Now, come on. I know you have dogs, or you used to have a dog. Your dog does this stuff in the backyard. Okay, it's gross. Fine. But look, it's turned to stone. Come on. Does your dog stuff lay out there for millions of years and turn to stone? It doesn't work that way, folks. It rots away. It doesn't matter what the issue is. It doesn't matter how small, how microscopic, how massive. Rapid burial, rapid change is the only thing that can happen there, or it's not going to happen. The more time that goes on, the more the thing is going to rot away, not any other. You know, we have this turtle egg out there in the museum. It's been CAT scanned. The little turtle embryo is still in there. Now, come on. Is an egg going to lay out there for millions of years and turn to stone? When you get home tonight, take a dozen eggs and go stick them in your front yard and check on them every day. Watch them turn to stone over time. Folks, they're not. The dog's going to get them. The bugs are going to get them. The heat's going to get them. The cold's going to get them. The lawnmower's going to get them. Something's going to happen. They're not going to lay there for millions of years. It doesn't work that way. But yet eggs are found all over this world, turned to stone. Many examples of this stuff. Folks, it rots away quickly. It has to be done quickly. This is funny. I happen to pick geology here, but every science publication ran this article. This is really something. Let me read a little bit of this. Well, let me just read it here. It says, more than a half billion years ago, that's 500 million years ago, thousands of jellyfish were washed up in a small lagoon. All right, where was this lagoon? It was in Wisconsin. Okay, wait a minute. 500 million years ago, there's a lagoon in Wisconsin that thousands of jellyfish wash up in, and some of those fossilized jellyfish are 3 feet in diameter. Big, thousands of 3-foot jellyfish. The preservation of a soft-bodied organism is incredibly rare. Jellyfish have no durable body parts. That's true. There's not much to a jellyfish. They have no bone, no blood, no brain, no heart. There's not a lot to a jellyfish. Anybody that's ever seen a jellyfish wash up on a beach somewhere, you know full well the thing doesn't lay around for millions of years. It doesn't lay around for 2 days, much less any other time. Now check this out. Look what it says. They found some of these fossilized jellyfish in 7 layers in the quarry, encased in about 12 vertical feet of rock, representing a span of time of up to 1 million years. Time out. Are these dumb jellyfish or what? Thousands of 3-foot jellyfish wash up in a small lagoon in Wisconsin 500 million years ago, and they're locked through 12 layers of strata. through 7 layers of strata, 12 vertical feet of rock strata, 7 layers. Folks, that's not possible. A jellyfish isn't going to lay around for 1 or 2 days, much less long, not long enough to be locked through 7 layers of strata through 12 vertical feet of rock. That's not possible. And they even talk about how some of the delicate ripple marks are even preserved. Folks, that's another thing. Ripple marks are even found preserved, turned to stone. Well, look, you can go to any beach and see this kind of stuff, and it doesn't happen today. As a matter of fact, footprints are found all over the world. That doesn't happen today, turned to stone. But they're not done that way today. Folks, look, there's no way that any of that stuff can happen the way that they claim it. Noah's flood is what did all this stuff. We'll get to the mechanism on Wednesday night, but folks, the Bible has the mechanism. The Bible has the answer as to why those finds are the way they're found. You're going to be amazed at what the Bible actually says about this stuff. But anyway, let's check this out. Look at this. How about this bird right here? Here's another thing that this guy just defies evolution. I mean, just, this is amazing. Most birds are flying along and they want to stop, so they get on top of something, like a tree limb or rooftop or wire, but not a woodpecker. This guy says, no way, everybody stands on top. I'm going to stand on the side of the tree, you know. So he attaches to the side of the tree. You know, most birds, their claw configuration is they have 3 in the front and 1 in the back, but not a woodpecker. This guy has 2 and 2. He's got a totally unique set of claws. This guy's got these little short legs and these powerful claws. He attaches himself to the tree. Every variety of woodpecker, notice, their tail will be anchored to the tree. They use their tail to help stabilize themselves in place there. Now this guy's got this really strong, broad, powerful claws and anchored to this tree. He's standing on the side of the tree here. And he's looking around, he says, you know, as long as nobody's watching, as long as I'm standing here anyway, I think I'll see what it feels like to slam my face into the tree. Pow! So he does. Ooh, it must have hurt quite a bit, especially right at first, you know. This guy slams his face into the tree. Some varieties do it as much as 1,000 times per minute. All varieties do it hundreds and hundreds of times per minute. This guy is slamming his face into the tree hundreds and hundreds of times a minute. Now think about it, folks. The impact this guy strikes that tree with, each impact is the equivalent of 6 G's. This guy is pulling 6 times gravity on his face 1,000 times a minute. Most airplanes are not even designed to handle 6 G's. The wings will fall off, positive or negative G's, they can't handle it. They'll fall apart. This guy is smacking away 1,000 times a minute at 6 G's. Now, most birds, now think of a dove, a duck, a quail, a goose, a turkey, a chicken, whatever. They have long, wimpy necks. Not a woodpecker. He's got a very thick, very short, very muscular neck. This guy's designed to do what he does. He has this big jackhammer hanging out here on the front of his face. He's got this really thick skull right here. This guy's designed to do what he does. It's amazing. Now, if you ever chop wood, you know, you have a log there and you're going to chop it up with an axe. The worst thing you can do is go straight into it. It gets stuck. You know, you got to pull it up and you get stuck. If you want to chop that thing as efficiently as possible, the best thing to do is come at an angle and then come back up at another angle and then come at another angle and another angle. Come back and forth like that and you'll knock big chunks out of the thing. Wedges will come flying out and you'll cut through quicker and more efficiently. You film a woodpecker and watch it in slow motion. This guy, he's doing that very thing. He's coming at it at different angles like that. Every time this guy, he's coming back, he's looking for the target he needs to hit. When he hits that tree, he closes his eyes so they don't pop out. This guy is slamming along at 6 G's 1,000 times a minute for a lifetime. Folks, what would that do to your brain? Well, you'll make Jell-O, tapioca pudding out of the thing, you know? I mean, but you know what, folks? There is no problem too big for God to solve. You know, when God made these guys, he gave these guys a spongy tissue shock absorber to sit in between his beak and his skull to absorb that impact. This guy has a shock absorption system. Now, think about this now. What is he drilling the hole for? The bugs, that's right. He wants the bugs that are in the tree. Now, the bugs aren't dumb. The bugs, they've got grandmas and grandpas too. They've been around a while, you know? Just imagine the scenario. Here comes Woody. And Grandma Bug says, listen here, son, you hear that? Yes, Grandma. That's Woody. Oh, no. Yeah, he's after us. We got to go. Okay, Grandma. Well, finally, Woody gets the hole done. He looks in there and he says, where'd they go? He just chased off the very thing he's drilling the hole to get. Not a problem. Woody, he's got to get them back. He has a sweet sticky substance he puts on the end of his tongue. It's sort of like those mousetrap things, you know, they're walking along and he gets stuck. He's got this glue he puts on there and the bugs love it. So they come up and they get stuck. If you ever go fishing, you ever notice how when you go fishing, the fish hook has a little barb on it? And the theory is it'll go in and won't come out. And it never works. It always falls off when you get this record keeper, you know. But you catch these little things, and usually it works so well you have to clip it off and take pliers and pull it through, you know. It never lets go of the little guys. It's the big ones that always falls off. But anyway, but the woodpecker has three of these little hook barbs on the end of his tongue, and between the three little hooks and the glue, when the bugs go up and get on there, he pulls them in, he gets the meal after all. Folks, this guy is designed to do what he does. Absolutely amazing. One of the most amazing things about a woodpecker, though, he's got a really long tongue. In fact, it's so long it doesn't fit in his mouth. So what does he do with his tongue when he's not using it? Well, he takes the thing and he wraps it around his skull and inserts the tip into his right nostril for storage. I wonder what the woodpecker did with his tongue before he decided to wrap it around his head and put it in his nose. It's hanging out about 8 or 9 inches. You know, he's flying along. He gets too close to a tree limb. Help! Yeah, the woodpecker evolved. Yeah, right. No way. Folks, this guy's designed to do what he does. He does it just fine. You know, we were out at Tucson. We were out at Saguaro National Forest. Not a tree in sight. That's pretty funny. But they have cactus, and they've got woodpeckers. There's no trees, so they just hammer away on the cactus. You know, folks, this is another thing. The extreme left in again. They've gotten a hold of this stuff. I mean, come on. They're going to... My parents live outside of San Antonio. And a little west of where they are, there is a golden-cheeked warbler, this bird that lives out there in the cedar tree. You buy land, you can't cut a cedar tree down because the golden-cheeked warbler lives there, and that's his habitat. Of course that's his habitat. That's the only tree that's out there. You know, of course he's going to live in this... But folks, even if you have a lot of trees, you look up in the eaves of the church and around the sign, around stuff, you'll find bird nests up there with a bunch of trees around. They're going to find a place to nest. I mean, that's just ridiculous. In fact, my parents have this, on the back patio thing, porch there, they have this little table chair set up, and it's turned into a junk collector spot. But anyway, Mom has this little towel over these little seed starter kits. You know, your little seeds, you put them in here, and once they get growing, then you put them in the garden, you know? Well, anyway, she went out there one day and pulled that towel back, and underneath that towel is a bird nest with little baby birds in it. Chip, 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 looking to be fed. We were doing a, remember this footprint rock I talked about last night in Ohio-Indiana state line in the Ohio side? We had a homeschool meeting. We have a homeschool meeting tomorrow. You don't have to be a homeschooler. Come on out, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock. We'll go for about an hour and a half or so. We'll have a good time with the kiddos. But anyway, we had a homeschool meeting at a church we were doing a seminar at. And after the meeting was done, we all went caravaned over. We took a field trip out to this footprint rock. And where this footprint rock is in a, it's in an abandoned gas station area. And you can see trees all over the place. And one of the girls heard something. We all walk over there and we pull this cover off this old abandoned gas pump. And Mama Bird decided to nest in the gas pump. A bunch of little babies there. Cheep, 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 cheep. Trees all over the place. Mama puts a babies in a gas pump. You know, they're going to find a place to live. Now, I'm not saying we should go destroy all the forest, you know. It's like, you know, when I talk about getting involved in kids' lives, I'm not talking about being vigilantes. That's not what I'm saying. We just need to be vigilant. We need to be on guard. We need to pay attention. Folks, the devil is a roaring lion, and he is walking about. But the point is still the same. It's we need a balance, of course, they're not going to, you cut down all the trees. I'm not saying we should cut down all the trees, but look, they're going to find a place to nest is the point. We're not going to destroy all the birds by cutting down a tree. In fact, we were out at the Everglades, and 1.2 million acres of stuff, trees everywhere, 1.2 million acres. You know where Mama Bird decides to nest? In the antenna mast. They're going to find a place to go, okay? You know, it's just, they've gone nuts with this stuff. But anyway, how about one more of these guys? This guy right here, he's ugly is what he is. Now, think about these camels, folks. These guys are awesome. These camels, notice their nose. They have a special nostril. They can close them down. This guy can squish down his nose. He can walk headlong into a sandstorm, and he doesn't get sand blown up his nose so he can breathe. Not only that, he's got these big, long eyelashes, big, bulging eyebrow ridges that come out, and they serve a couple of different purposes. Have you ever noticed you're driving your car in a west-setting sun, you know, and you pull the sun visor down because that sun's beaming in, and you're driving along, and you find yourself crouched up as high as you can be, and then you just give up and drive like this, you know? If you had a ball cap, you could put it on and put that thing on and drive along. And well, the camel, can you imagine living in the, you live in the desert, blinding sun coming in, blinding reflection coming up. The camel has a ball cap over each eye, but they came from the factory that way. You know what? He didn't have to go buy it somewhere else. God built them in. This guy has these shields over his eyes. He's got these big long eyelashes, big curtain that hangs down. So as it helped filter out the sun. As the sand is blowing, it hits the curtains and falls down so it doesn't get in his eyes. This guy's cool. He's designed to do what he does. Not only that, this guy's got this long, dense, thick, matty hair, and it insulates him from the extreme cold at night. Desert gets cold at night, and the extreme heat during the day. This guy is designed to do what he does. He's got these long, lanky legs. Hey, it's 5 minutes till six. It's grandma's birthday. You're supposed to be at grandma's house at 6 o'clock. It's a 30-minute drive. And you don't have a gift yet. You are seriously running late. So what do? You've got mom, dad, teenage daughter, two and a half, 3-year-old son. And you go to the mall because you're going to swing by the mall on the way to grandma's house to pick her up something as a present, you know, gift. As it always works out, you park on this end of the mall, and the store you really want to go to is on that end of the mall, you know. So here you go, you know, you're walking along. I mean, you're running late, right? So you're walking right along, you know, and next thing you know, you've got this cadence going, but you look back at that poor little old 2-year-old. And his legs are just about on fire. He's running as fast as he can to keep up, you know. The longer something's legs are, the less energy they have to expend to cover a territory, given distance. This guy is designed to cover huge area with as little energy output as is needed. Not only that, he's got these wide padded feet. He's got special feet. We have a little place up in northern New Hampshire, and we really like the winter month stuff, you know. We love to go snowshoeing. It is so awesome. It is no fun traipsing through thigh-high snow. So what you do is you get these snowshoes based on your body weight, and you strap it to your boot, and then you don't sink down in the snow. So it's we love to just go hiking off into after a freshly fallen snow where nobody's been yet. It is just beautiful and peaceful. It's just awesome. Well, imagine living in a desert with all the sand and everything everywhere. The camel has snowshoes. But in his case, they're sand shoes, and they came from the factory that way. They're built in. This guy's got this unique foot. When he puts weight down on his foot swells out to give him a bigger footprint. When the weight is on the other leg and it's coming up off of this one, his footprint contracts back in. So now he's pulling a smaller foot out of a bigger hole, so there's no drag there. It's less effort to walk through. This guy's incredible. He stores as much as 100 pounds of fat in his hump. He could go several weeks without water. A lot of times people think the water's in the hump up there. That's where the fat source is for the energy, but the water's in the tissue. That's another neat thing. These guys survive by several different means. Number one, they have a normal body temperature of 93 to 105. If your body's at 93 degrees, you better be at a hospital. You have a major problem. We know a family that had there was church service going on, or they were showing up for the church service Sunday morning, and this other fellow in the church looks at their newborn baby and said, "What's wrong with your baby? What's wrong with Mary?" And they said, "Nothing's wrong with Mary. What do you mean?" He said, "No, something's wrong with Mary. What's wrong with your baby?" They said, "Nothing's wrong." He said, "No, something's wrong with Mary. Let's take her temperature at least. This little baby." Took her temperature. She was 92 degrees. They rushed her off pediatric ICU. She went down to 89 degrees, her body temperature. Folks, that is a major problem. That is a serious thing that's gone wrong. Hey, on the other end, if you're at 105, why are you at 105 if you have 105 temperature? Why is that? Because some invader got in there that doesn't belong there. And your body internally has called out the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Special Forces, Navy SEALs, Coast Guard. It is full-scale war going on inside your body, and they didn't even have to vote on it. This invader got here. Just kick him out of here, you know? I mean, that's awesome. Folks, that's awesome when you think about it. This guy, that's normal body temperature for him. Hey, not only that, if he needs water for the vital tissues, he draws it from other parts of his body that don't need it so much. Every year in this country, people die of heat-related injuries. If you're out there in the summertime and you're sweating or doing, you better be replacing those fluids, because if you're not, you get muscle cramps, and then you get heat exhaustion and heat stroke and death. People die every year, this kind of stuff. This guy, if he needs water for the vital tissues, he draws it from other parts of his body that don't need it so much. That's pretty cool. Not only that, he loses a quarter of his body weight, and then he regains it every couple of weeks, and he does just fine for a lifetime. Can you imagine you weigh 200 pounds, and you go to 150, 200, 150, 200, 150, 200, 150, 200, 150, 200. Every few weeks, you just go back and forth, back and forth. We can't do that kind of stuff. That's incredible.
That's about all the time we have for now, but in the future, we'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. That's www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.